So this week we continue our preaching series, Summer in the Spirit. And Kathy Hitch, 2 weeks ago, kicked off this series with revealing that the Holy Spirit is not a new addition to the Godhead, but it rather is co-eternal with the Father and the Son. She made that point through the creation story, where we see the first action and activity of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit hovered over the darkness and the void. The scriptural record reveals the Holy Spirit's first action was to bring order out of chaos. Next, we see the Spirit in the creation of humanity, where God breathed the breath of life into Adam. And we've been using the word for the last 3 Sundays, ruach. And you got to get the ch in there. When the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life, the Spirit acts in the same way. It brings new life to that person. It has the capacity to bring new order out of the chaos that we've made of our lives and form us into deeply committed whole life disciples of Jesus for the world. Last week, John pointed out that throughout the Old Testament, we see the power of the Spirit falling on a specific person for a specific period of time for a specific task. And John used the story of Moses as his primary example, that the Spirit fell on Moses, and Moses was used by God to bring release of the Israelites from slavery to the Egyptians. And here's another example from the Old Testament, the story of Gideon. Israel is under siege from the Midianites, and an angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says, go in the strength you have. Now that's important. He says, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hands. Well, Gideon, by his own admission, confesses, Lord, you got the wrong guy. How can I save Israel out of my own strength? My clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. You have got the wrong guy. Just like when Moses says, don't choose me. I got a speech impediment. I'm not your guy. And the Lord responds, I will be with you. I'll be with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites together. And the scripture says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and through the Spirit, Gideon became a mighty warrior and leader. We see in both Moses and Gideon, and a host of other folks in the Old Testament, that God equips who he calls. I'm going to say it again. God equips who he calls, not in their own strength, in their own wisdom, but rather through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He equips those who are called to fulfill what he asks. So, the Spirit brings life, brings order out of chaos, and also equips those who are called. But we also see in the Old Testament a third group, a distinct group of folks that God uses to reveal his desire and will for his people. Do y'all know who I'm talking about? What this group is? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody besides John Wingrovius? Bueller? Bueller? The prophets! Right, through the prophets. Through the prophets, the Spirit proclaims the mind, heart, and will of God. Through the prophets, the Spirit speaks to the people of God, to guide, instruct, and correct God's people. Isaiah said it so clearly in Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. It's the Holy Spirit who is speaking through the prophets. When we read the prophets, we have to understand that. That's the Spirit of God. I mean, we say it every Sunday in the Nicene Creed, right? In the third part of the Nicene Creed, we say, he has spoken through the prophets, meaning the Spirit. And typically, the Spirit speaks through the prophets, calling Israel back into covenant relationship. You see, in the Old Testament, God made a covenant with his people. He said, I will be your God, you will be my people, I'll give you the law to live by so that you can be my holy witnesses to the world, and I will be faithful to you always, always. The problem is, regardless how good and right the laws were, the people just could not live them out faithfully. Israel was constantly falling out of covenant relationship with God, chasing other gods, worshiping idols, just generally running amok. But God was always faithful and pursued Israel, drawing them back into relationship through repentance. Israel would repent, return to the Lord, only to fail again in keeping the law and being a holy witness. God, through the prophets, promised that one day, a day in the future, he would make a new covenant with his people. A covenant which would be very different from the first one. The Spirit revealed the nature of this new covenant through the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, 31. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. Meaning the law will not be something outside which is imposed, but rather something that is spiritually integrated into our very beings. Spiritually integrated. I will put it in your minds and I will write it on your hearts. That's great. But the question is how? How is that going to happen? Well, for that we move to the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26. God said, I will give you a new heart, Rick. I'll give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I'm going to take your heart of stone, Rick, and I'm going to replace it with a heart of flesh. And here's the money line. Y'all ready? I will put my spirit in you. I'll put my spirit, the Spirit of God, I will put my spirit in you so that you'll follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. What Ezekiel is proposing here is a spiritual heart transplant, which will take place when we receive the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit living in us which gives us the capacity, the desire, the will to actually be in relationship with God and to follow his ways and be a holy witness to the world. Because in and of ourselves, we cannot do it. We're incapable. We will fail. But wait a second. I know what y'all are thinking. That's not the way the Spirit works, right? I mean, remember, in the Old Testament, Beckett, it was always a specific person for a specific task, for a specific period of time, and then the Spirit would leave. Yes, that's how it worked in the Old Testament. But what the prophets were pointing at was a time in the future. It said, in the future, the Spirit will behave differently. And Joel puts a fine point on it when he wrote, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. On maid and man servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Do you see how pervasive that promise was? Both men and women, young and old, free and slave, the Spirit would be poured out on all of them. The Spirit in the future will transform our very beings in nature by filling us with the presence of God through the Spirit. This is the essence of the new covenant. God in each of us fully, completely, holding nothing back, and the Spirit living in us, leading us, comforting us, equipping us, guiding us, correcting us, transforming us into God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This future work of the Holy Spirit was not to be reserved for just particular people, but was now for all of God's people. That was the prophecy. And this prophetic future hung out there in the consciousness of Israel long after the prophets went quiet. For nearly 300 years, there's no prophetic word, no prophets. And many thought, 300 years, imagine that. Thought this new covenant was just a dream. It wasn't reality. Nothing's changed. Then suddenly, there was a flurry of activity of the Spirit. A flurry of activity. But again, the Spirit was acting in that Old Testament way, falling on specific people for a specific task for a specific period of time. Do y'all know when that flurry of activity, what was going on at that time? Anybody? Who? The birth of Jesus. All of a sudden, we see in the scriptural witness that all of a sudden the Spirit starts pinging here and there and there and there. In Luke 1:35, the angel Gabriel visits Mary and tells her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, specifically you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And Mary responds with faithfulness and surrender. She says, be it to me according to your word. Now in the Greek there, it's slavishly, let's do this thing. She gave herself completely over. And the Spirit came upon Zechariah and Elizabeth. Remember when Elizabeth is pregnant with John and she meets Mary and all of a sudden the baby leaps in her womb. And John the Baptist is filled with the Spirit as well to be a herald of the Messiah and the new covenant through the Spirit. Luke 3:16, John says, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm unworthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John, too, is pointing to this future. Will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism here is an interesting word. It means to be completely submerged and saturated. When a boat sinks in the ocean and goes to the bottom, it's baptized. It's completely submerged and it's overwhelmed by water. When you take a sponge, you put it into a bucket of water, you pull it out and water's just running out of it, it is baptized. Do you see it? John is echoing the prophet's revelation of this new way to live as followers of God. A life which is filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit to equip us for what we are called to do, to bring order to the chaos of our lives, to bring new life, life with meaning and purpose. The good news here is we don't have to bootstrap our way through faith with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we can be completely equipped to live the life we're called to live and live the lives we've always wanted to live. What they're talking about is being transformed from being human beings into spiritual beings. To being born again by water and the Spirit. But again, even at the birth of Jesus and the ministry of John, this promise for all people, it was still out there somewhere in the future. but it was emerging. And there was a sense of immediacy. There was a sense of anticipation. So Jesus is born. Do y'all know what happens next? Anybody? What's the big thing that happens next? Who said it? Put your hand in the air. Oh, there you go. Right over there. Oh, two of them. Ron as well. The baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan. So we're going to jump into that. What? No, gosh. Adam's doing this with his watch. Adam, I haven't gone that long. Adam, please don't. Adam, listen. Okay. I'm just a little bit more. Do not cut off my microphone. Okay? Don't do it. Waiting for you. No. So next week we're going to pick up at the baptism of Jesus, where the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus like a